All right, Romans chapter 8. Let's read verses 22 through 25. Now, last week we talked about this glorious manifestation of the sons of God that's coming one of these days. And a thing that we all look forward to and long for. This week it takes it another step farther in that same subject, sort of, but let's read it. Chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Yeah, that was 2,000 years ago almost, and it's still until now. Still the same thing. Still groaning and travailing in pain. Population of the earth, many, many, many times what it was then. How much louder do you think the groan is? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. All right. Now, we know that the whole creation, boy, that includes a lot, don't it? My. More than we can comprehend, that whole creation. That includes everything. Sin has affected everything, not just man. The whole creation was affected and turned on its head by man's sin. We don't see it like it really is. We don't see deep enough to understand that, really. But it's visible to us. We can look at anything, any part of the creation, and we can see that pain and suffering and all of the other ill effects and death has affected everything, because that's the rule of the universe. Death, pain, suffering, trouble. There's a lot of things that are just so obvious that everybody knows them to be true. There's no argument that can be put forth to disprove this. This is one of those things that every living thing in the universe experiences pain and misery. There are none that don't. Nothing alive, nothing that lives doesn't experience pain and misery and suffering. Fear and dread and all of that too. All that too. Pain and misery exist because of sin that has blighted God's perfect creation. God didn't create... You know, we can't fathom that God didn't create this thing with those ingredients, pain and death and suffering, work and labor and toil that hurts. God didn't create a man to have stress. God didn't create man to suffer and have pain, nor the animals. Yep. Now we can't hardly, it's such a far thing from where we live that it's hard for us to believe it, ain't it? Well, he said, someday the lion's going to lie down with the lamb. Well, they did at the beginning. The lion will eat grass, says that, like an ox. And we can't believe that because, you know, the evolutionists have told us all of our lives that that's why they got them big sharp teeth, because they're meat eaters, you know. They got them teeth to kill with, yeah. Well, creation's changed a lot of things. Their sin has changed a lot of things in God's creation. They weren't made to do that. They weren't made to kill. Nothing was ever made programmed to steal. Sin that came into the world by Adam has upset everything. I mean, it has ruined it. Ruined it. All this hatred and this violence and this that we're seeing right now, we were talking about a while ago in our country, what, you know, all this is because of sin. There's nothing else. There's no other explanation for it. Anybody that looks at this world, I've been thinking this for a long time, anybody, it's hard to imagine this, but suppose you never had seen this world and you just visited this world and You looked at this thing, you would realize immediately there's something bad wrong here, wouldn't you? When you saw how it is, the killing and the stealing and the hating and the way people treat each other and think evil of each other and do, you know, there's something wrong here. That everything's killing and or being killed. Everything's chasing something or being chased. Even the animals. So something wrong here. Surely this is not how this was created. What in the world? Everything that lives experiences pain because of the sin and selfishness of other living creatures. We watch animals kill other animals and we think, man, you know, that's terrible. How can they do that? They have no feelings? Well, people don't either now. You notice that? They can kill babies and not have and rejoice about it. Celebrate it. Murdering and dismembering human beings in their infant, in their most vulnerable stage of their life. The most innocent stage of their life. The most lovable. How I just can't imagine. You know, that's without natural affection. That's being past feeling. It's the ultimate that the Bible describes of evil as evil. And that's where we're at. No creature is more affected by this than man, who is made in the image and likeness of God Himself. We're affected by it more than anything else. But it says that the whole creation, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Travail in pain. Well, that word kind of carries the meaning of a temporary thing. It's you're travailing, but it's like a woman giving birth. That's where that word's used more than any, travail. Well, it is. It's terrible and severe, but there's an end. It's short-lived. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Waiting, though. It's waiting for the redemption. Now, all are united in mutual sorrow. It's a universe cry of grief, a universal cry of grief and anguish from every creature that is alive. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth. It's the universal cry, the sound that heaven hears from this universe. It's a groan. It's a cry. It's not laughter. It's not rejoicing. Well, life's just a party from one end to the other. Not in this world, it ain't. This world is, and this universe is a cry. It's a universal cry of grief and anguish from every creature that is alive. The groaning is because of the pain and the suffering and the vanity and death that seems to reign over all living creatures. Everything dies. Everything dies. Even as undefeatable as life is. I was reading the other day, I got an email on one of these things, and it's a deal, I believe it was. But they found in Israel, I believe it was in Israel, a clay pot that had some seeds in it. And they were from a palm fig, I think, or a fig palm, whatever it was. But that tree had been extinct for almost 2,000 years. And those seeds, somebody had saved them in a clay jar and buried them over there, and they found them. Well, they kept them in a museum for years, like from the 40s. I think they found it back then, but Well, they finally decided they would see if they could get them to germinate. And they did. They soaked them in some nutrients. The scientists said, well, no, the food supply in that seed's long gone. Can't last that long. They soaked them in some nutrient solvent or something and planted them and they grew. Now they got a tree that come from a seed that came from a tree 2,000 years ago. I mean, life is just
eternal.
It is undefeatable. It just lives no matter what in a universe that's dying and where it's going to die. Now, those trees they planted, that's wonderful and everything like that, but that tree's going to die. It's a certainty that that tree's going to die. Now that it's lived 2,000 years in its seed, it's going to die. It's universal. It has reign over all living creatures. Something is always wrong with everyone, with every family, with every church, and et cetera, et cetera. Something's always wrong, ain't it? We're talking about the groan of the universe, the suffering, the pain, the vanity, the death. There's something always wrong, ain't there? You ever have a day when ain't nothing wrong? Everything's just like being in heaven? Not here, you don't. No. On your best days, it's not that way. No. Something always wrong. There's always some ache, some pain. There's always some fear, dread. There's always some problem. There's always some conflict. Something is wrong somewhere, all the time. That's the universe you live in that's cursed by sin. Don't think that God made it to be that way. That's all. That's the whole deal here. God redeemed us from all of this. And He's preparing a place for them that love Him to deliver us from all this, to redeem us out of this. God's going to harvest the earth one day. And anyway, we've got more to say about that. But anyway, there's somebody or something is always being mistreated or abused. You can't imagine, and I can't imagine right now, as we sit here in our comfortable pews, warm and full and happy and not hurting, you can't imagine what's going on right at this minute in this whole world. If you could hear the cries of the people that are being murdered right at this second here, that are being beat to death, that are being tormented and tortured, and the children that are being killed and abused. And there's no way that you could even stand it if you knew really what all was going on, like God does. God knows. He knows everything that's happening right at this instant. Right at this minute. There's no telling how many doctors there are right at this minute tearing a little baby to pieces out of the womb. Right now, while you're sitting here. But we don't hear. These are the habitations of cruelty the Bible talks about in the dark places of the earth. There's a bunch of them now. Ain't no wonder the whole universe groaneth and travaileth in pain. People that care groan and travail over all of the injustice and the evil that's being done. Yeah. In Ezekiel chapter 9, God sent an angel down and He said, mark every man that sighs and cries for the abominations done in the land. Everybody else died. Only the ones that cared. Well, I can't do nothing about it, so I'm just going to put it out of my mind, live my life, and eat, drink, be merry. Well, you'd have died in Ezekiel chapter 9 because God sent the angels in with a sword and He said, start at the house of God. And He said, start there with the old men in the house of God. Kill them first. But everybody that sighed and cried for the abominations done in the land. That's why I tell you, you ought to pray for our country. And you ought to pray for all the people that are going to be affected by this evil. God marks it down. God notices. It's going to make a difference in eternity if you care now. Can't do nothing about it? Maybe we can't. But we can sigh and cry. That's the time. Now's the time for that. We got all eternity to rejoice and be happy and glory and live in glory. But right now it's not glory. You're living in a universe that's groaning and travailing. Yes. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Church ain't a comedy show. I seen a thing this morning as a preacher, and oh, it was really funny, all right. But it's not, the pulpit's not a place for that. You know, he'd made a good comedian. He was. He was funny, clever, sharp, good at it. But it, no preacher, no. Time to laugh and a time to cry. This is a time to cry. To so many, life has no meaning, and so they despair of life itself. To many people and creatures, life is nothing but an existence of pain and suffering with no meaning. How many of you ever watched that documentary on the penguins down in Antarctica? Now there's you a good picture of people and what life is really, you know, really. You talk about vanity. What in the world? Such suffering. I mean, such an existence that just is just like, I mean, it's so fragile and so meaningless.
Right.
Terrible. I mean, you watch that and you come away just thinking, oh, poor penguins.
Yes.
What in the world? Why? God had a better plan for penguins than that. I know that's a fact. Man's sin has brought all the suffering into the universe. I believe that. Because the Bible says so. But a lot of people live that way too. Life's nothing but existence of pain and suffering. We hear one or maybe a few voices at a time, but God hears all of it at once. We give our prayer requests here, and we know, you know, five or six people's got cancer. We know they're suffering. We know them, and we've known them for a long time, and so it bothers us, and we, you know, it's a burden to us. And we hear about people off in other states and stuff. I hear about everybody in Virginia, and, you know, and all the prayer requests over there, and so I know about a lot of people, but my goodness, it ain't even a speck on the radar. What I hear about and what I know about and you know about and what we pray about and talk about here ain't even nothing in the whole scheme of things here. We hear one or two, but God hears them all. You know, you got to think about that. God hears them all. He knows about them all. We hear that. Now that's why the world's songs are full of songs of sorrow and pain. That's all they're about. Think with me. Ain't that the truth? That's why they sing about sorrow and pain. This is exactly why worldly entertainment's centered around pain and sorrow. I mean, there ain't no good movie if it ain't got a bunch of that in it. Is it? No. It's either got to be that or complete, utter nonsense. For people to enjoy. Yeah. Every book, drama, all that stuff, it's all built around this fact that sorrow and pain and death and tragedy and injustice, it's all about the sin of man and the results of it. That's what we write books about, make movies about. It's what we write songs about, the world I'm talking about. The only comfort that the unregenerate world has is to obtain sympathy from others. That's the only comfort they have. Did you ever think about that? I have. I've thought about it a lot. Because if you're ever in a position where you can't obtain sympathy from others, then you realize that how worthless it is. Anyway, what good does it do for somebody to feel sorry for me? I mean, how does that help me? Well, it don't. But it's some kind of salve that, because the world, that's all they got. That's all they seek for. That's all they seek for. It's the only comfort they can hope for without God. Is to, for somebody to feel sorry for me. I don't know if anybody understands that or not, but that is the truth. That's the way it is. They try to comfort themselves with an illusion That eternity will simply be a continuation of life as it is here, but without the pain and suffering and injustice. Just do away with all the effects of sin, but eternity is going to be just like it is here. No way! No way, man, can it be like that? Right. Eternity cannot be a continuation of this life. Because this life is tainted by sin and all the curse of it. Can't be that way. But that's what everybody thinks. I've said that to you a lot. But everybody thinks they're going to carry their personality, their career, their pets, their pastimes, their sin right into heaven. And everything's going to be just wonderful from here on out without all this trouble. But they're still going to have what caused all the trouble here. Nope, ain't going to work that way. But somehow, God is going to take all the sinners as they are into a place that has none of the consequences of sin, and everything's going to be wonderful. That's what everybody seems to believe. They preach it boldly now, that sinners are going to heaven. And they mock anybody that quotes the Bible that says, no sin shall enter there. I've heard it, I've read it from Baptist preachers that say that adulterers and fornicators and thieves and liars, they're going to heaven. They can prove it. Because they can point out people in the Bible that did all that stuff. Excuse me, but, you know, just because you can find somebody in the Bible that committed adultery doesn't mean that adultery is allowable. I don't care who did it. If it was David, if it was Abraham, whoever it was. That doesn't make it right. Need to read God's law. That's the basis of everything. Instead of justifying what David did, so you can justify yourself in doing the same thing. That's the end game right there. If God took sinners into heaven without taking away their sinfulness and regenerating their soul, they would immediately turn heaven into what the earth is now. That's right. That's why I firmly believe that salvation changes a person from a sinner to a saint of God. Yes, sir. That's why I believe a truly saved person does not live in continual, habitual sin. Not ready for heaven. If you're doing that, if that's your life, if that's what you are, if you just want to do right but can't, and you try and you fail, then you're not ready. Heaven is not, I mean, it's not going to accept you like that. Since it is the cry of all the creation, it is all that is heard by those who do not hear the sound of the Good Shepherd. It's all everybody hears. Woe and sorrow and misery and, you know, the cry of the helpless and the mistreated. That's all everybody hears. Who doesn't hear the voice of God. Not only they, but ourselves also, he said here, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. All creatures, all of them, hope for a better day. But only the children of God, only the children of God wait for it. We're waiting for it. They're hoping. The world's hoping now for somebody to come on the scene that can fix all this mess. That's what they're hoping for. We're waiting for the Savior to come and to take us unto Himself and to take us to that place He's prepared for us so that we can be with Him there. Now, we're waiting on that. He might come before we're done here. He might come tomorrow. But He is coming. He is. We're the only ones that have an absolute hope. That is our blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know He's coming. I know He's coming. The world wants something better. They hope for something better. They're always doing everything they can to try to make things better. Humanism says that man's God and he can fix all these problems. And that's what they think. They think they can... They can edit the genes now and fix whatever, you know, they think they're so smart that they can just fix all the world's problems. Well, there ain't no such a thing as a sin gene. They're not going to find that. And they can't mess with that stuff anyway. My, my, my. That's just one of the signs that we're close to the end because they're crossing boundaries that God will not allow. I promise you. I promise you. That's the truth. All creatures hope, but only the people of God wait. The children of God have a hope in death while the world has despair. Life has become so meaningless to this world that I saw the other day, man over Ellington, I believe it was, somewhere over in that part of the country. He was 99 years old. If he lived to September, I believe it was, he'd been 100 years old. Didn't say nothing about him ever going to church or nothing like that. He didn't have nothing that in his life. Just said a few words about him and his family and all that. Said no service planned at this time. Live 100 years. Just dig a hole and put you in the ground. Saw another one, an old lady, an older lady. I think she was up in the nursing home in Piedmont, I think, maybe. And going to have a memorial service and then cremate her. She'll be cremated after the service. Life don't mean nothing to anybody anymore. Somebody live a long life and die and it ain't even worth people gathering together in honor of their life to remember them out of respect, regard for a life that was lived. I mean, you always had people, we had paupers' graves and stuff like that. I've been to one I've told you about before. The preacher called me and wanted me to go to the funeral home was going to bury this guy. The state was burying him in a wooden coffin because he didn't have no friends, no relatives, nobody. And they were just going to go out there and drop him in the hole and cover it up and leave. But they just felt like, you know, something ought to be done more than that. He's a man, he lived a life. Somebody ought to remember something here. So we went out there, and that's what it was. Me and the preacher and four from the nursing home, funeral home, said a few words and buried him. But people don't care anymore. Life's too meaningless. They don't have any hope. And so death is becoming welcome for a lot of this world, even though they have no hope after death. They're blinded and mind-numbed about it. They think that killing themselves is the way out of their misery. Oh my. No. Not so. We long to be clothed upon with that new body and be in the place of the redeemed that Jesus went to prepare for us, where there is no more pain or sorrow or crying or death. For the former things are passed away. No, not anymore. So the children of God groan too. But it's different than the groaning of despair that the rest of the creation does. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, even until now. And we even ourselves, the scripture said here, but ourselves also. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. But it's different. It's different. We got hope. We're groaning for the time being, but it's in anticipation of the end of this. I wish I could make that more clear to you. They have no end. Do you see? Don't you understand? Their groaning and travailing is never going to end. Ours will. Yes, it will. I'm a pilgrim passing through here. I'm just here for a time. I'm a sojourner. That means I ain't here to stay. I'm not from here. I'm an alien here. Throughout all history up until now, it has always been the same in every generation. Every generation. Now it's never been like this since the days of Noah as it is right now. But every generation has had its... Boy, if you'd have lived in the dark ages, that was a rough time too. you lived during the Inquisition of the Catholic Church, it was a bad time. Yes, sir. Or any time, as far as you want to go back, any generation you want to pick, it was a bad time. The world ain't never had any good times. Ain't never been a generation on this earth where everything was wonderful. Never. For we're saved by hope. What if there were no hope of this whole big mess being fixed? What if there was no promise of anything better than it? This is it. And imagine it. Now the world out there, that without God, that's the way they look at it. Think about that. This is it. This is the way it is. Ain't never going to be no different than this. It's just evil. The world's evil and this is the way it is. Get used to it. So they just stop calling evil evil. Jump on board and say, well, this is good. What if eternity only held the prospect of endless pain and suffering and weeping and gnashing and of teeth and groaning? I couldn't live with that. That'd be too much. But the world's living with it. They just live in denial of it. That is precisely what eternity holds for those who refuse to avail themselves of the hope that God has offered. We're saved by hope. Hope that God has offered. All they've got to look forward to is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So what they do is they just say, well, I don't believe that. Well, what a dumb thing to do. That's as dumb as Nancy Pelosi saying, I reject your facts. That's exactly what they're doing. Well, I don't believe that. They think you think that's a ticket out? You think that's a free ticket out of hell just because you say, I don't believe it exists? Doesn't matter what you believe. The truth is the truth. And facts are facts. And what exists, exists. This universe is messed up. And it's groaning and travailing in pain. God's children have a hope of an eternity without all this. The people that are not of God have their only future is an eternity with what you got now times 10,000. In hell, he lifted up his voice. It ain't past tense. It's present progressive tense. I mean, it's just still, he's still lifting up his voice right now. He lift up his voice, being in torments, and cried. And that's worse than it is right now. All the groaning and travailing and the pain and the suffering and the death, that's much worse. How can anybody be so foolish as to live a lifetime in this world full of pain and sorrow and groaning and travailing and pain and death and injustice and everything wrong and all the evil? How could you live a life in this and then die and go to an everlasting hell that's 10,000 times more full of this, when all you have to do is believe God and trust Him and turn from all that? Those who are redeemed and have staked their claim in God's kingdom, there's the promise of a new heavens and a new earth where there will be no more groaning and pain. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. There won't be any songs in heaven of sin and pain and despair. Ain't gonna be no songs in heaven. So that means ain't gonna be no country music in heaven. There ain't gonna be no songs about violence and murder and sex in heaven. That eliminates rock and roll music too. What are we gonna sing about then? The things we sing about now when we worship God. How wonderful He is. How much He loves us. What a sacrifice He made for us. Hope. We're saved by hope. No more hurt. No more sin. No more grief. So there won't be any groaning and travailing in pain. And this is the hope that's worth patiently waiting for. We've talked about it today, she said, and I was already thinking the same thing. Boy, I'm so sick of this world. Yes. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of seeing and hearing all this evil. Yes. And all this hatred and all this foolish lies and deceit. I'm sick of knowing about what's going on in this world. I want out of here. I want out. That's why I say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come. Yes. I've thought about this for years. I think I heard an old preacher say it years ago, but he said the church came in the fire and it'll go out in the fire. When the church, when God, when Jesus' bride is really crying out for Him to come, He'll come. What did God say to Moses at the burning bush? He said, I've heard their cry in Egypt. They were crying out to God because things were bad. They were killing their babies. They were making life impossible for them. And the evil was dominant. And God heard their cry. And way out on the backside of the desert, He had a conversation with Moses that was the beginning of the end of that misery. So who knows what's going on in heaven right now. Saw a picture one time, and I don't like pictures of Jesus and all that, but they didn't show His face. It was just His back. But He was mounting a horse. A white horse. You know that's what He's coming back on, don't you? All right, let's stand. That may be happening. They may be preparing right now. I'm sure that He's more anxious to get us out of here and home with Him than we are. When a man and woman get married, and they're going to get married, I've always noticed this, and I believe it's true. The man is always more anxious than she is. She's all tied up in the wedding and all this formality and hoopla and all, but he wants his wife. He wants to take her and go. That's right. I think Jesus wants to come and get us. I know He does. But God's, in His wisdom, He knows the perfect, exact time. The day and the hour. Think about that. The hour. I mean, the clock. One of these days is going to get to the hour. That hour. He's going to say, go get her. So in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It ain't going to take forever for Him to get from heaven to here because it ain't that far. And He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. Come up hither. Yeah, are you waiting for the shout? You going to recognize that voice? The world's a trembling and a shaking. It is. It's hell beneath has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. The whole earth's just about to blow up. The volcanoes and the earthquakes everywhere. They say, I saw in Alaska, they're all on edge because it's still shaking up there. They had that earthquake and they're just having earthquakes every day. Just something's happening. Jesus said it. There'll be earthquakes in diverse places.
Well, there's always been earthquakes in diverse
places. No, even the scientists, the most ungodly scientists say, they got to admit it. I mean, it's all there. The earthquakes have multiplied in the last few years drastically worldwide. So there's earthquakes in diverse places, just like Jesus said there was going to be. He said there'll be signs in the sun and the moon and in the heavens. Every few months, we're watching a blood moon now. I said, I never heard of a blood moon all my life until the last few years. And now we're having one just every little bit. The moon shall turn to blood. He said. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, tells us in the New Testament. Jesus told us. Better wake up. Better be getting ready. Everything's groaning and travailing. The whole world's in such a state that it's not been since the days of Noah. Wow. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is.
To get translated out of this in an instant and to be forever free from it. I don't know if you ever sit around and think about how glorious and wonderful that's going to be. If you do, you'll want it to happen tomorrow. Amen. All right, bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Pray you'd bless it to our hearts and help us, Lord, to remember these things and ponder them. Help us, Lord, to be ready. We need to be thinking about home and going home. And we need to have this hope in front of us as a reality and often and meditate on it a lot in this dark age that we're living in. Please give us wisdom and help in these days. And help us, Lord, to be salt and light and be a blessing to others. And, Lord, help us to save some, like the Bible said, as from the fire. I mean, just, Lord, help us to be fruitful and make a difference here in these last days. There's some more that need to get in before this happens. And I pray you'd guide us to them and help us to be bold and ready and prepared to speak for you and to live our lives in such a way that our words would mean something to people when we do say them. Please get us home safely tonight. Lord, bless everybody. Help them in their lives here in Jesus' name. Amen.